Coming up on Chasing the Natty, week two of the college fantasy football season is here, and we're here to get you guys prepared. I'll be giving you a couple of players at each of the main positions that I'm sitting versus starting, and then we'll finish up with some fan-submitted start-sit questions. I've got all of that for you and more coming right after this.
Look at Chinty go! Breaks a tackle! He's 10! He's touchdown!
Cook's gonna throw the deep ball, and Burton past the defense! Touchdown, Luther Burton!
Milroe gonna run it again, got a lane, kicked in the turbo, Milroe! Goodbye, touchdown, Bama!
This is Chasing the Natty, a college fantasy football podcast. All right, welcome in everyone. This is Jared Palmgren, host of the Chasing the Natty podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful ride to your work on this Thursday morning. We are the College Fantasy Football Podcast on the campus of Canton Podcast Network. You can find us on all of your podcast feeds and on YouTube every Monday and Wednesday morning during the season at 6 a.m. sharp. If you want to support the great work we're doing here, head on over to campuscanton.com. Subscribe there with one of our extraordinary tiers. You'll find everything you need for your CFF, Devi and C2C and betting needs, IDP, really all of it. We got articles, we got rankings, we got projections, tools, and even more than that. You can find me in the show on Twitter. I'm at CFF underscore Jared, and the show is at Chasing the Natty. Y'all, week one is in the books. Hope you guys had a great week one. Hope you guys are 0-1, or not 0-1, excuse me, 1-0 in every single one of your fantasy leagues. We're riding solo this week. Justin's got some very important life events that he is taking care of over the next couple of weeks. Congratulations to him and his significant other for securing a house. So they got a lot of work to do there. So good luck to them. But that's fine. We'll ride here solo. Got a great show laid out for you guys here today. This is probably going to be the first true preview and start-sit show that is going to look like what this show is going to look like down the stretch for the rest of the season. Last week, Justin and I had to kind of combine the week two reaction and week one preview into one. This will be solely dedicated to previewing week two here. And basically how this is going to go is I'll give you six players to start, and then six players to sit, two at each position, and I will be kind of breaking down why I think, you know, I'll be sitting or starting. I guess that goes without explanation there, but basically, I'll be real. I had a hard time deciding what the criteria would be for this week's start and sits, because as I mentioned before, if you've listened to some of the previous episodes, basically what will happen down the stretch is for my starts, I will be picking players that are outside the top 60 at their position to this point in the season. And then for the sits, I'll be picking players that are within the top 40 at their respective position at that point in the season. But with us only having 1 week in the books of actual CFF play so far, I tried kind of applying those rules already, and I kind of ran into a couple of problems. One, a lot of the players that did really well last week have really good matchups once again. That's just kind of the nature of here at the beginning of the season. Some of the players I was thinking about playing, like you know, putting down, like, oh, maybe I can put down, you know, Byron Brown or Sean Atkins. They got a matchup against Alabama this week. Well, they didn't do super hot for fantasy reasons last week as well. And so I kind of moved away from that. And I also kind of started thinking about it to myself as well, where I was like, have people completely moved off of like their preseason conceptions or perceptions yet, right? Are people completely pivoting to these people that they're grabbing off the waiver wire, right? And I started thinking about it. I'm like, no, I don't think that we're at that point. I think most people, if they drafted somebody pretty highly, are probably going to go at least one more week with trying to start them and see kind of what happens there before moving on to some of the hot new toys we're getting off the waiver wire. So with all that being said, with all my rambling there, basically what I decided here is, for the most part, I'm still going off of, you know, preseason ADP, just kind of like how we did last week in terms of determining my sit and starts. And probably by the time week three, week four rolls around, that's when I'll be getting into those normal rules of focusing solely on in-season performances at that point, rather than preseason notions here. And so, with that being said, enough of my rambling. Let's go ahead and get into some of these sit and start scenarios here. And first up, we have my six starts for week two. Again, these are guys that are either pretty available on the waiver wire, you can go and pick up for the week, or guys that, you know, are off people's radars. Maybe they're hanging out on your bench with some of these guys. Maybe you picked them up off the waiver wire. You're not really sure if you're ready to start them this week. I'm here to tell you that if I have these guys, most likely, unless I have just uber incredible options with some of our, you know, studs that we know we have, I'm probably starting these guys in whatever leagues that I can get them into. And so first we'll start off with quarterback. And my first start here is Owen McCallum, quarterback out of UTSA. He is going up against Texas State this week. I mentioned on this week's Waiver Wire show, I was pretty impressed with Owen McCallum for the most part. Again, there's a lot of people that were, you know, kind of concerned that maybe we'd see Texas State, or excuse me, UTSA's offense take a significant step back here without Frank Harris at the helm. Owen McCallum in the past hasn't looked horrible, but he isn't really wowed you at all. Well, this past week, well over 300 yards, four touchdowns, three through the air, one on the ground. I was pretty impressed. Granted, it was up against Kennesaw State, so again, remains to be seen just how good potentially that performance looks in hindsight. But Vegas seems to think that we're in for a pretty good game here, and Owen McCallum should be able to score plenty in this game. The over-under on this game is one of the highest on the week at 63.5. Texas State's only favored by one. And so you're starting every Texas State option that you can possibly get on that side of things. Meanwhile, on the UTSA side of things, like, McCallum's still pretty well available in a lot of leagues right now. And so I would say that given the fact that both of these teams, given the spread, given the total, are expected to hit 30s this week, I think that McCallum is absolutely worth starting again this week. The other quarterback that I am looking at here is Brennan Sorsby, the quarterback out of Cincinnati. He's going up against Pittsburgh. I mentioned, again, on the waiver wire show, Sorsby was another option that I kind of threw out there that maybe I sit him for another week just to make sure, but that was before I realized that Vegas really seems to think that both of these offenses are legit. Again, similar total as the last game. 63.5 is the total here, so both teams hitting the 30s here because Cincinnati's only favored by 2 points. Vegas is expecting a lot of scoring opportunities here, and where there's scoring opportunities, Brennan Sorsby is going to find the end zone. I fully expect him to be able to perform well again. Last week we didn't even get to see his legs, and he still put up 30 plus fantasy points. I think in a game like this against Pittsburgh, where both of these teams' trajectory could change greatly based on who wins this matchup and how they perform in this matchup, I think that they're going to rely heavily on Sorsby moving forward, and I do think that they are going to utilize his legs a lot more here. So I think he has a pretty good shot if Sorsby can find me 3 to 4 touchdowns and get some run with his legs, he absolutely has 30 to 35 to 40 point upside in this game, depending on just what they do around the goal line. And so I'm starting Brennan Sorsby, I'm starting Owen McCallum. Those are my two quarterbacks that I will be hitting on this week. At running backs, we got kind of two different scenarios here. Again, if you guys notice with at least the two quarterbacks, right, I play on high total games with tight spreads where a lot of scoring is expected to happen. There's not really expected to be a lopsided matchup there. You'll see that over and over again as we kind of go through this show for the most part. But here with these two running backs, I got DJ Jones, running back out of Wyoming, and Demond Claiborne, running back out of Wake Forest. I think I'm going a little bit different direction here with these. DJ Jones, running back out of Wyoming, he's going up against Idaho this week. Last week, he went up against Arizona. Wyoming got absolutely destroyed by the Sun Devils last week, to the point where the coach went onto Twitter and apologized for their performance. But even while absolutely getting destroyed, DJ Jones got 17 carries in that game. I think with this week, Wyoming's going to want to get back on track. Yes, Idaho technically held Oregon to like 24 points last week. I'm not buying into that at all. Oregon held back against the Vandals. I don't think Wyoming is going to hold back against the Vandals. Like I said, their offense was atrocious last week. They got Wyoming's not a team really with anything to hide. All right. They're gonna go into the Mountain West play. They're gonna want to compete for Mountain West Championship, but before they sit there and try to have some gamesmanship and hide certain plays and everything, they gotta get this offense back on track. They're gonna run their full offense against Idaho, and that's fully going to involve a lot of work from DJ Jones this week. I think he's in for a pretty solid week this week. I'm starting him wherever I can. The other running back, as I mentioned before, Demond Claiborne, running back at Wake Forest, had a really solid week last week. 17 carries, 135 yards, and a touchdown. Really just a kind of performance I've been wanting to see more and more of out of Demond Claiborne. It's been a very frustrating relationship with Dave Clawson over the years with his running backs. Just ask Kenneth Walker after he was phenomenal at Wake Forest, but he never really got that full workload that he really needed. Went off to Michigan State and ended up becoming a second round pick in the NFL draft. I'm hoping Dave Clawson doesn't make the same mistake here with Demond Claiborne. And so far, so good. We're off to a good start here in 2024. Like I mentioned, over 130 yards last week and a touchdown. I also think what's going to help Claiborne here is the fact that Wake Forest is still trying to kind of figure out their passing game, right? Last year was just an absolute mess. Michael Kern got the start last week, and he only threw 8 passes. He did fine, like 5 for 857 yards, and then he got yanked. And then Bachmeier came in and took over the rest of the game, like threw 28 times. I have no clue what is going on with that quarterback situation. I don't know if mid-game, after a couple drives, Kern just went up to Dave Clawson and insulted his mother or something like that. I don't know. Regardless, the point is, I think they're still trying to figure out that passing game a little bit, and I think they need to rely on a guy like Demond Claiborne, who is pretty old reliable for them right now, especially going into a conference game. They got Virginia this week, if I didn't mention that already. I think Dave Clawson's going to learn a little bit from last year and years past about utilizing his talented running backs. I think he knows that Demond Claiborne currently is one of the best assets on this team. One thing I am slightly worried about in addition to Dave Clawson is that as much as I'm excited about the fact that, you know, Claiborne got 17 carries last week, went over 100 yards, that volume isn't completely unheard of for Claiborne. He did have 3 games last year with 17 or more carries. So I am a little worried that, you know, reading into that 17 carry game last week, maybe that's just the same thing as last year, right? Where 17 carries one week, 11 carries the next week kind of deal. I really think Clawson really just needs to bite the bullet and just ride on Claiborne as much as he possibly can here. The other thing that I'm slightly worried about is Virginia was pretty average against the rush last year. And again, seems that we're kind of average against the rush last year. Claiborne did have a couple of stinkers there. And Virginia does return most of their defense. They're 33rd in returning production. And so I think they're going to be slightly better than they were last year. And I do think that could be a little worrisome potentially for Claiborne. But regardless, I think my love for Claiborne here, one, boils down to I like the talent. But then two, I really like his position in this offense as that kind of steady guy going into the first conference game of the year. I think they'll ride on him as much as they can. My wide receivers are where I think I get the most out there with my starts. These are both guys I'm pretty sure are pretty widely available. I should probably have written down what the roster ship on some of these guys were. But the first guy here, Dejon Stribling here, I can look it up real quick. Dejon Stribling, currently rostered in only 13% of leagues, so very easy for you to find him out there. He's a wide receiver out of Oklahoma State. He's got Arkansas this week. Again, I should have written this down. That's another high total game here, right? We're looking at, yes, here it is. Oklahoma State's favored by a touchdown, but it's an over-under 62.5. So you're looking at Oklahoma State expected to score about 5 touchdowns in this game, according to Vegas. If I had to ask you guys regarding Stribling, which starting outside wide receiver for Oklahoma State got the most targets last week, If you guessed Rashad Owens, you would be wrong. It was Dejon Stribling here. Stribling is coming back after missing most of last season post week 4. But in the games he did play last year, this is something I really should have paid a bit more attention to in the offseason. He had 7 targets, 10 targets, 1 target in week 3. That was the week where they got absolutely destroyed by South Alabama for no reason. I have no clue what happened that week. So we can just throw that game out, I guess. And then 9 targets in week 4. By the way, in those same weeks, Rashad Owens got 2, 1, 2, and 1 targets. So it wasn't until after Stribling went down that Owens' target share shot up. And it looks like now, with Stribling, it looks like he might be back to being that top outside guy. He had 8 targets this past week compared to Rashad Owens' 5. So granted, this gap isn't as big as it was last year. But I do think there's a possibility we might have been drafting the wrong outside wide receiver 1 for Oklahoma State. And Stribling, like I said, he's pretty widely available in this moment. He's 13% rostered right now. I think that in a potential shootout here with Arkansas State, that Stribling could be in for a pretty solid game. Again, like I said, last week, 8 targets, 5 catches, 80-something yards. Didn't find the end zone, which is something that Owens could say over him. But regardless, like, I think that if you want a piece of this Oklahoma State offense moving forward and you weren't able to get a guy like Brennan Presley or Rashad Owens in the draft, go grab yourself a share of Dejon Stribling. I think there's a non-zero chance that he is the Oklahoma State wide receiver we've been looking for. The other wide receiver here I'm going to throw out here is a guy we've seen twice already in Malik Rutherford, the wide receiver out of Georgia Tech. They got Syracuse this weekend, another pretty high scoring game here. Again, over under 61.5. Georgia Tech only favored by 2.5. So again, both of these teams looking to potentially hit those high 20s, early 30s kind of scoreboard here. I will admit that some of this is a bit off a gut feel, but I do think Rutherford is a legit start this weekend against Syracuse. Rutherford, as much as we liked Eric Singleton, he's kind of been the clear wide receiver 1 for this Tech offense so far. He's garnered 7 targets plus in each of his games so far, so 14 total. To compare that to Eric Singleton, our boy Eric Singleton, he's only got 9 so far, and Rutherford is absolutely reeling in these catches a little bit better than Eric Singleton is right now. Rutherford's been quite good so far. He's been getting 17.9 yards per catch. I don't expect that to be pretty sustainable, but I do think it's pretty impressive nonetheless so far. Rutherford also mostly plays in the slot, although he does kind of move around some. It is a one game sample size, but we did just see Syracuse get absolutely victimized by Coleman Owen last week. And guess where Coleman Owen did his dirty work from? The slot. And that's where Rutherford's going to be playing this week. Again, given the fact that he has the volume in this offense, he's kind of playing in the spot that currently seems like the weak point in Syracuse's secondary, given what Owen was able to do last week. If Owen can do his work that he did against Syracuse's secondary, I expect Rutherford, a guy that's been pretty talented for GT over the last couple of years, he should be able to do some pretty good work there as well. And so I think Rutherford is a pretty sneaky start in some deeper leagues this week. I personally have him starting in at least one league this week. So that's kind of my main guys there that I'm starting. I will throw out one honorable mention here, and that is Coy Eakin, the wide receiver out of Texas Tech going up against Washington State. We'll talk about that game a little bit later here when we get to some of the other fan-submitted questions for sit and start. But if you don't got Josh Kelly, don't got Barry Morton, don't got Taj Brook, very similar situation here to Oklahoma State. If you want a piece of this offense and aren't really sure where to go, Coy Eakin's your guy, right? Eakin was the top outside wide receiver for Tech last week. Again, Kelly playing mostly in the slot there. But we've seen, again, when Zach Kittley gets his offense going, he can have a solid slot and a really solid, he can have an elite slot, really, and a solid outside one for wide receiver. And it looks like Eakin's kind of that guy right now. He had 8 targets last week, second most on the team for Texas Tech. And like I said earlier, this Texas Tech Washington State game is really one of the games that we in the CFF community have our eye on the most this week. It has the highest over under of the week at 65.5. Wazoo's currently favored by 2.5, so both teams expected to hit the 30s in this game. I think that, again, like I said, if you don't have Josh Kelly, Eakin's a pretty solid backup choice because maybe Wazoo has enough talent to kind of slow Kelly down. I don't think they have enough talent to slow both Kelly and Eakin down. So I think Eakin's a pretty solid start here. That's a long ramble for a guy that I had as an honorable mention, but c'est la vie. Let's move on here. There's a token for your bingo card, Corey. Let's go to my sits here for the week. So my sits for this week, as I kind of mentioned, going forward, like once we kind of get a few more weeks into the season here, these are going to be mostly players that are outside the top 40. But for this week, I'm going with some guys that were drafted decently highly that I don't think you're able to start. We'll start with quarterbacks. I think one of the no-brainers here, I almost didn't put this because it feels like such a no-brainer, but you know, I just want to throw it out there just in case. But Joey Aguilar, quarterback out of App State, going up against Clemson here. I don't really think there's that much to say. Yes, Aguilar has been great and very consistent last year. He's already off to a really good start in his first game against East Tennessee State University last week. But you know what Aguilar didn't have to face last year? A defense like Clemson's. Even worse, he didn't have to face a pissed off Clemson defense who just got embarrassed in the second half versus Georgia last week. I don't really think there's really that much else to say here. If you want me to go into more detail here, App State's team total is set at 18.5 according to the spread and over-under from Vegas. And even then, I don't even really think that if Clemson's defense plays to the caliber that they should, I don't think App State reaches 17 points in this game. I just think there's plenty of better options you can find than Aguilar this week. And in the same vein, Byron Brown versus Alabama. Yes, dual threat quarterback. Yes, he's playing from behind. Yes, he'll play some hero ball. I don't care. I don't feel good about starting a G5 player against one of the elite defenses in college football. So Byron Brown is also a sit for me, but that's not my other official sit for the week. My other sit for this week, and oh boy, here we go. I'm sitting Shedeur Sanders, quarterback out of Colorado versus Nebraska this week. Obviously, Sanders had himself a really, really good week one. I believe he was top five in CFF last week. Just absolutely dynamite against North Dakota State last week. Granted, he had some receivers running wide open throughout that game. But regardless, he had himself a really, really solid week. But that also shouldn't really surprise anybody, right? Because we've seen Sanders do that against defenses that his offense wouldn't really have a bunch of really solid options at wide receiver. And Shedeur Sanders, who is... as much as I, you know, diss on Colorado all the time, like, Shedeur Sanders is a good quarterback. He clearly can, he can clearly throw a ball. But even still, like, I don't think we're going to be able to see him do that against a Nebraska defense this time around. Because, again, looking back on his history, let's look at Shedeur Sanders whenever he plays a defense with a pulse. You'll notice that his numbers drop pretty greatly against Oregon last year. 23 of 33 for 159 yards and a touchdown, negative rushing yards. Against Arizona State, 26 of 24, 239, a touchdown, one touchdown on the ground, but also negative rushing yards. Versus UCLA last year, 217 passing yards, a touchdown, negative rushing plays, only one touchdown on the day. Versus Oregon State, 22 of 39 for 245 and two touchdowns. Kind of solid passing numbers, but it's still a clear drop, right? And not what you really are looking for in CFF, right? And I can already hear some of you screaming, some of you kind of lightly tapping me on the shoulder saying like, hey, Jared, remember what he did to Nebraska last year, right? Like he went 31 of 42 for 393 yards and two touchdowns and also had another touchdown on the ground. And to that I say, I think that's a point that I understand where you're coming from. I'm not going to say it's a good point, but it's a point I understand where you're coming from. But here's why I don't think it's a good point. Did you guys know that Nebraska finished as a top 10 defense last year? I didn't know that, but until I started kind of researching this, because I had this kind of feeling. I'm like, I don't know why. Like, I don't really trust Sanders this week against Nebraska. This is partially why. Nebraska defense at the end of the year was not the same defense that they started that year. Obviously, there's some personnel changes, but also guys just got more reps. People understood that defensive system they were running there a lot better. Shedeur Sanders, looking back on it, he was able to take advantage of TCU and Nebraska, two teams that had a ton of defensive turnover early last year. Got two defenses that were just straight up not prepared for what they were going to get in this Colorado offense, with Sean Lewis running it, Shedeur Sanders throwing the ball, with better than expected receiver help for him. I just don't think that's what we're going to get this year, because this Nebraska team this Nebraska defense is not what they had at the beginning of last year. This year, like I said, they're returning a team that finished top 10 in defensive performance last year. They are returning 72.9% of their defensive production from last year. So they have a ton returning. A ton of their starters are back from last year. This is going to be a much more improved Nebraska defense that Sanders will be facing this time around. In addition, and shout out to Nate Marquise for this point, because this isn't even something I really thought about until Nate brought it up, but Nebraska's defense is going to get some help from its offense this year. They're not going to get nearly as tired out as quickly as they did last year, because this time they're going to have a quarterback who, hopefully, one, won't turn the ball over constantly like Jeff Sims did last year, won't constantly go three and out. They'll sustain some drives, provide some scoring drives, take the pressure off of the defense, making the defense not have to be nearly as aggressive. I really think that if you're starting Shedeur Sanders expecting to get what you got last year, I think you're mistaken. And I think there's a solid chance he could finish with less than 20 fantasy points this week. I really think that Colorado could be in for a rude awakening here, especially going on the road to Nebraska. So that's my sit for the quarterbacks here. We'll move a little bit more quickly through my running backs here, because one of them is pretty obvious. I'll just go ahead and throw him out there. But Jalen Buckley, running back out of Western Michigan, obviously people draft him pretty highly. And if you drafted him, you saw him put up two touchdowns and 64 yards against Wisconsin last week, and you're sitting there thinking, oh, well, he did solid against Wisconsin last week, Power 4 competition. Maybe he's matchup proof. Nope. I wouldn't do that. It's Ohio State this week he's facing. It's a whole different caliber of defense. I just wouldn't worry about it. My other running back here, this one's a bit more out there. I kind of went back and forth on this one. But Jadon Blue, running back out of Texas, going up against Michigan this week. Obviously, last week, I didn't love seeing Sark take Blue out of last week's game pretty early. I was kind of hoping we would see him run Blue just a little bit more, just kind of get his feel as the RB1 there. But I do think he took Blue out early, knowing that Blue would be needed in this game against Michigan. And on one hand, my head's like, okay, well, if he clearly needs Blue, then he's going to utilize him a lot against Michigan, so Blue should be in for a solid day. I'm still not quite comfortable here, because again, Michigan does lose a lot on their defense, as clear as day, right? They lost a lot from last year, but it's not nearly as much as their offense. They still return about half of their defensive production from last year. They still bring back quite a bit of that staff. And so I think they're going to still run the same system. They'll still be pretty stout for the most part. I think that you can't go into a Michigan game assuming that you'll have a ton of offensive success. And Vegas seems to agree with me there, right? Vegas thinks this will be a pretty low scoring game, a total of 42.5. But still one of the lowest on the weekend. Texas, I believe, is favored by right around 5 or 6 points. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah. Or Texas favored by about a touchdown here. So if you're doing the math there, right, that's probably about, again, Texas getting 24 points. Yeah, I'd say Blue has a pretty good shot at getting one of those touchdowns. But even still, like, I feel like you have better options out there with some of the shootouts this week, with some of the lopsided matchups this week. I'd probably go and try to take advantage of one of those before I roll Blue out there. My wide receiver sits here are pretty similar in their thought process here, right? I'll go ahead and throw my honorable mention out, which is Sean Atkins versus Alabama. Same thing as Byron Brown. I'm not going to trust any G5 opponent going up against Alabama, but my two actual sits, like guys I think I could see people rolling out this week by mistake. One is Jalen Knoll, wide receiver out of Iowa State. He's going up against Iowa this week. Kind of similar to Jadon Blue in Michigan. It is the lowest total on the weekend at 35.5 points expected to be scored in this game. For those of you keep a score at home, that basically means that Vegas expects under 20 points for both of these teams here. While Noah had himself a pretty nice game versus North Dakota last week, Iowa's defense obviously always been nasty, a much different animal than North Dakota's defense, and it's been particularly nasty to Noel over the past couple of years. Last year, Noel had a ton of targets, but he finished with 8 catches for 50 yards, so rough yards per catch there. Iowa had his number there. In 2022, Noel finished the game against Iowa with 3 for 23 and 0, and in 2021, obviously, that was Noel's freshman year, 2 for 17. I'm not going to hold that too much against him. Maybe Noel can figure it out here. Maybe, you know, senior year, Noel's like, all right, we're beating Iowa this year. Let's do it kind of deal. I'm about to pop off here. Maybe that happens. I'm not betting on it for CFF. Again, low total game. History of not performing well against this defense. I think I'm going to be sitting Jalen Noel this week. And then the other one, this one kind of breaks my heart because I really do like Jordan Moore, but Duke's facing Northwestern this weekend, and once again, we got a very low total here. 37.5 points expected to be scored in this game between both teams. Another sub-20 expectation for both of these teams here. I just think that with so many lopsided games, higher scoring games to take advantage of, I think you can find a better option than Jordan Moore. Even though Moore should get the plurality of targets from Murphy pretty easily, I still think that, you know, there's other high scoring matchups you can probably take advantage of this week. So those are my official starts and sits for this week. I think, again, making pretty good time here, about half an hour here. Let's go ahead and move on to y'all's fan submitted start sit questions. So again, just to reiterate for everyone out there, basically how these work is if you go and follow the at Chasing the Natty Twitter account, we post a message every single week in order for you to put down your start sit questions. There are a couple of rules, the main one being no more than 3 players. God bless you guys. I love helping you guys as much as I can with your teams, but I can't be given constantly 8-person rooms of running backs and being told, all right, which 3 are you starting of this 8? I don't have the time hardly to do that for my own teams, let alone do that for all of you guys. So if y'all make it easy on me and give me 3 names, tell me if you need to start 2, start 1, that's where we go. It really helps as well if you do a couple of other things in terms of getting on the show. If you list, one, who their team is facing, like what team each player is facing that week. Obviously, I can do that research on my own, but any time saved for me that you can help me out with and just providing the information right there helps me out a ton. Again, as I wish I had as much time as I did in the past. So the more time I don't have to be looking up teams is like who they're facing each week, and the more time I can put into actual better analysis for you guys moving forward. And then the other thing is just putting down any kind of important scoring information, right? Does your team does your league do PPR, half PPR, standard? Are you 4-point passing touchdown versus 4-point passing touchdown versus 6-point passing touchdown? These things just help me with your questions, and the more that you do, the more that you are likely to get on the show. So all that being said, let me take one sip of water and then we'll be going in on these questions. So all right, the first question here comes to us from a guy from Colombia. Literally, that's his name, because his name on Twitter is from Colombia and his @ is from Colombia, so he's a guy from Colombia. I'm not sure if that's in reference to the college or if that's a place, but regardless, I don't know why my brain got so fixated on that for a second. I should tell you guys a question. The question that the guy from Columbia is asking me here is between 3 quarterbacks. We got Will Howard, the quarterback of Ohio State. He's going up against Western Michigan this week. We got Haynes King, the quarterback out of Georgia Tech, going up against Syracuse this week. And then we got Cam Rising, the quarterback out of Utah, going up against Baylor this week. So he is asking me to start 2 of these 3. Let me go ahead and get my tokens out here. I almost completely forgot about those. There we are. There we go. All right. So basically, this one boiled down to me that I am going to start the two quarterbacks here that are one dual threat, which granted all three of them are dual threat, but regardless, dual threat guys that I know are going to be playing all 60 minutes in their game, I think is where I'm going to lean with this. So if you can't follow that from at home, that basically means I will be starting Haynes King and I'll be starting Cam Rising here. I think Haynes King is the clear start out of these two. Again, we saw what Ohio was able to do to Syracuse's defense last week. Haynes King can have some monster games against some of this ACC competition. If you drafted Haynes King, these are the matchups that you got him for. Rising versus Howard's a little bit more of a close one to me. And I think, again, the tiebreaker for me is the fact that Rising will be able to play all 60 minutes against Baylor this week. Utah's favored by about 14.5 points. So, again, clearly expected to be a game in Utah's favor, but not so lopsided that, again, like we're afraid that Rising will get pulled at some point. And if Rising does get pulled in this game, like say it's fourth quarter and Utah's just absolutely destroying Baylor, I have a feeling that's because Rising had himself a really, really nice day. Plus, I do think, then again, this is my own personal theory. I don't know if this is really going to be backed up as the season goes along, but I do have this sneaking suspicion that with it being Rising's last year officially, they're going to ride or die on him a little bit. And I do think that, again, here in a Big 12 game early on in the season, I think they're going to let Rising shine here a little bit versus Will Howard. I do think that Will Howard, this is a bit of a tough spot, right? He had himself a nice game last week. I think 3 touchdowns, right, on the day. But Ohio State didn't really get its run game going last week. Again, Ohio State's got two of these tune-up games here. I think they liked what they saw from their passing game quite a bit last week. I think their focus will be on the run game this week. Maybe that benefits Will Howard in terms of him getting some rushes in this game, but I also think they're not going to really worry about that against a Western Michigan opponent. Like, I think Howard will have his rushing days against, you know, when they get into Big Ten competition there. I just think that with Will Howard being the most likely to be yanked out of this bunch and also, you know, the potential for Ohio State to not really let him shine like he did last week, I think that I'll be leaning towards Rising and King here for this question. So let me put the tokens back and let us move on. As soon as I find the button, there we go. Let's move on to our next question here. This comes to us from Jacob Guthrie at Beast Mode Jacopo on Twitter. He's asking me to start two quarterbacks between Noah Fifita, who's going up against North Arizona this week, an FCS opponent. We got John Battier, quarterback out of Washington State, going up against Texas Tech. And then we got Haynes King, quarterback out of Georgia Tech, going up against Syracuse. Again, I'm going to be relatively short on this one. The thought process for me here is almost exactly the same. And it's even more clear, in my opinion, than the last question. Because with the last question, again, Utah, pretty decent favorite. Cam Rising, you know, there's a possibility that he could get yanked just like Will Howard. To me, this one's clear. Battier and King are your starts here. You got two of the highest over-unders of the week here. You got games that are expected to be extremely close. You got two guys that are dual threats, going to be expected to play hero ball at some point during these games, versus Noah Fifita, a mostly pocket passer who had himself an incredible day last week already. I have a feeling that, again, this is something I need to do some like actual research into next offseason. Somebody remind me in a couple of months to make sure I do research on this during the offseason. But we always talk about how, you know, when you have teams facing against, you know, G5 opponents, FCS opponents, you're trying to figure out, like, is it likely that he'll get pulled early or not? I have two kind of running theories here. One, if it's same staff, same quarterback, they're likely going to be pulling that quarterback pretty early on in that game, because that staff knows what they have with them. The system's likely the same. You're going to see that quarterback get taken out. A great example, Brady Cook last week, right? They threw him out there. He did his thing. He was out really by the second quarter, maybe midway through the third quarter. He was not out there very long at all, and, you know, didn't have the greatest day because of it. Byron Brown is another one, right, where that staff knows what they have in them, and so they took him out early. The other kind of theory that I'm kind of running here with is sometimes you'll see staffs let their starter be out there, right, for a longer time, especially, again, new system, new starting quarterback. They want to get as much reps in for their guys as much as possible to make sure they're comfortable with running them in the future. If you have two of these games in a row, though, like two Power 4 versus G5, Power 4 versus FCS opponents in a row, that second game, I think you're playing with fire a bit more if you run out that quarterback again. I think that fits here with Noah Fifita. He had himself a really nice week last week. Granted, He's crutching on Tet McMillan like Tiny Tim over here. And so I think that Fifita, there's a chance that he gets more run again this week, maybe trying to spread the ball around a little bit more. Maybe that staff wants to see that a bit more. But for the most part, I think they know what they got in him. Clearly, he did well last week. I think that he's most likely to get yanked out of this bunch. Grab a tier, grab King, and start them both and ride those high-scoring games. I think you'll be pretty happy with that. All right, moving on to the next question here. This one comes to us from Tom Whitfield at TDW124 on Twitter. He is asking me to start one of these running backs out of three. We got Mario Anderson, running back out of Memphis, going up against Troy this week. We got Jaheim White, running back out of West Virginia, going up against in some FCS competition this week. And then we have Jalen White, running back out of Georgia Southern, going up against Nevada. So, how I break this down. With Sutton Smith down for the foreseeable future for Memphis, Anderson's pretty clearly the top dog for Memphis. I think, admittedly, as a Mario Anderson fan, I think us Mario Anderson drafters might have gotten lucky here with the Sutton Smith injury. Regardless, that is what we got now, right? And so without Smith, again, Anderson's your top guy here. I am a little worried about the fact that, you know, Memphis is favored by 18.5 points here versus Troy, but it's still not a massive spread. And I do think that given the fact that it's another, you know, G5 competition, I do think they're going to keep Anderson out there just a little bit more than they did last week against their FCS opponent. Again, Anderson, I think, only got like, 14 carries last week. I think we see closer to what his actual workload is going to be moving forward. But regardless, probably the biggest concern with Anderson out of these three is, again, he probably gets the early hook, or there's potential that he gets the early hook. Jaheim White, I think, is the big dice roll here, right? He's absolutely splitting that backfield moving forward with Donaldson, especially with him getting banged up versus Penn State last week. He had to leave the game for a bit. He did come back after the long break they had, after the long delay due to weather. But regardless, like, him and Donaldson will be splitting this backfield, especially against the FCS opponent. I don't think they're going to really want to run either guy really into the ground at this point. But the upside for White is the fact that, man, he can rip one off from any point in the field. And against an FCS opponent, the likelihood of him doing that goes up. But kind of like Gavin Sawchuk last week, there's also the possibility that he only gets a few carries, just doesn't get much done with his opportunities, and then you're stuck with him, you know, ending the day with 35 yards on maybe 7 to 8 carries. So I think White is the biggest dice roll of this three, and I think because of that, I'm going to definitely sit him. Jalen White is one of the more interesting players that I am keeping my eye on right now, because last week, outside of the three touchdowns that he got, it was not a good performance against Boise State. He had less than 3 yards per carry. His rushing attempts matched quarterback JC French, which was definitely one of the downsides to JC French winning this job, is that we've had a bunch of pocket passers for Georgia Southern the last couple of years, and so White was able to eat because they weren't going to run their quarterbacks. Well, JC French absolutely can run, and he did so last week pretty solidly. And so I think White is he's a little concerning moving forward. Granted, they get an easier opponent against Nebraska this week, or against, not Nebraska, Nevada. They get an easier opponent against Nevada this week. And I think that I'm hoping at least to see White kind of get back on, Jalen White, that is, back on track here. But because of that hesitation, I'm going to sit him, and I think I'm going to roll with Mario Anderson of these three. So, Tom, I'm rolling Mario Anderson of these three. Hope you enjoyed that explanation. All right, next question up here. Let's go to Mr. Gabriel Sanchez at GSanchez1985 on Twitter. Gabriel, if you're listening, I want to know, is that 1985 your birth date, or is that because you're a really big fan of the... Oh, wait, that's 1975. I'm just being dumb. Anyway, Gabriel, once again, very solid question here. Again, he did everything I asked here, gave me the names, gave me who they're facing, and gave me what scoring system he's asking for here. So he's asking between three running backs here: Jordan James versus Boise, LaQuint Allen versus Georgia Tech, Anthony Tyus versus South Alabama. This is a full PPR league here. I think I'm going to automatically go ahead and say Allen is the no-brainer here. Syracuse, again, got that awesome matchup with Georgia Tech this week. I've talked about this already, right? It's a high over-under game. Very close game to be expected. In a full PPR format, Allen is huge. I believe he had five receptions last week or something like that for Syracuse. Let me just double-check myself there real quick. Five targets, four receptions. So still, that's 4 points right off the bat there for Allen. I think that's easily the highest floor you can get for receptions out of these three guys right here. Anthony Tyus got a couple of receptions last week, but didn't really do much. So I don't think receiving is really much of his game right there. Jordan James can also catch out of the backfield, but between James and Tyus, you got two guys here that I think both have the ability to have big games, right? They both have the ability to split away from their backfield a little bit, right? But they also have the ability to have somebody kind of eat into their ceilings greatly here. Anthony Tyus obviously has Rickey Hunt behind him, while Hunt had himself a bad week last week. I don't think there's anything saying that if Hunt gets off to a better start next week, that maybe we see a more even split of carries between Tyus and Hunt. Versus Jordan James, last week we did see a even split between James and Whittington. They both got the same number of carries last week, although Whittington was far less efficient with his carries. I'm a bit torn on which way to go. I think I'm going to lean towards Tyus here, mostly because James and Whittington splitting carries last week, again, you can chalk that up to them doing it against an Idaho opponent there, but Lanning's had a pretty consistent history of having a split carries for his backfield. Even last year, Bucky Irving only got 13.3 rush attempts per game. Now, granted, James is very similar in the way that Bucky Irving was, in the fact that he is hyper efficient with a lot of his touches, but even still, that's not something I want to rely on week to week here. Versus Tyus, I think I'm going to lean towards that way, mostly because, again, we've seen him kind of break away from Hunt a little bit. He was really, really good against Power 4 competition last week. He's got a South Alabama opponent this week. They're only an underdog by about 1.5, over under 57.5. Solid expectation of scoring for both of those teams. So I think I will lean towards Anthony Tyus there versus Jordan James. I think we can still have a solid week here, but I think that Oregon's probably going to be a bit more heavy in the passing game this week than they were last week, and I think that'll hurt James just a little bit. So, again, Gabriel, my pick two here, LaQuint Allen and Anthony Tyus over Jordan James. So I'll put my tokens back there, and we'll move to my second-to-last question of the day here. I was able to fit six of these in for you guys this week, so I think going forward I'll probably go with trying to do sit and starts the first 30 minutes of the show, and then based on how far we get with that, probably about whatever 5 minutes left per question at the end. So I'll probably prepare six of these per week, but we're going to definitely keep to an hour total for this show moving forward, just so you guys can get a I know I'm just kind of narrating out loud right now, but in terms of my thoughts for the show, but just so you guys can understand, like, roughly how many you can expect these, or how many of these you can expect per week moving forward. I would say probably the good guess is about 5 to 6 per week. So, next question here comes from William Folk the Third, aka BJ Folk 12 on Twitter. Again, similar to Gabriel Sanchez, gives me everything I want here. PPR league, we're picking a wide receiver. He wants to know between Chris Hudson, wide receiver out of Washington State, who's going up against Texas Tech. We got Xavier Henderson, wide receiver out of Cincinnati, going up against Pitt, or Jeremiah Smith, wide receiver out of Ohio State, going up against Western Michigan. This is a really good question. I like all three of these guys. I think all three have solid ceilings for this week. Obviously, Smith had himself a nice week last week. 90-something yards, I think 92 yards and 2 touchdowns on 6 catches. Versus Henderson had a 100-yard game last week. Chris Hudson had himself a 100-yard game last week. Like, all three of these guys are coming off pretty big performances here. And I think all three of them, given their matchups, are in line to potentially have big weeks again. We'll start with Hudson here, because again, I'm only going to pick one, and that's going to be hard, because I think with Hudson, he was the number one target last week for Wazoo, but if you look at his pass snaps, he's clearly in that second tier, right? Kyle Williams had the most number of pass snaps. Meanwhile, Chris Hudson was kind of getting substituted in and out with Trey Shackelford, the other outside wide receiver there, as well as, you know, he's on the same tier as guys like Tony Freeman and Josh Meredith. That tells me that his target share is probably going to go up and down quite a bit per week. And so I think that, again, if you're thinking, oh, he had the most targets last week over Kyle Williams, maybe like he's the guy to go with here. Granted, you didn't put Kyle Williams as one of the options here, but regardless, like, if you're thinking like Hudson, there's potential he's the number one guy. I don't think that's really there right now. I would love to see maybe Chris Hudson potentially move back to the slot and kind of get some consistency at slot that we didn't get at all last week, because Tony Freeman and Josh Meredith didn't really do anything. And so I think that Hudson's probably my weakest one out of the bunch here. I think Jeremiah Smith, while I love his talent, kind of similar to what I was talking about with Will Howard earlier, I think that Ohio State might have a different offensive focus this week. In addition to the fact that, again, I think they're going to run a little bit more, trying to get that running game fed just a little bit more. Obviously, got 2 stars there in Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. But also, again, Emeka Egbuka, Carnell Tate, those guys need some love as well. And so I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there's a concerted effort to maybe shy away from Jeremiah Smith just a little bit and make sure that the offense is more well-rounded overall. So who does that leave? Well, it leaves Xavier Henderson here, my boy out of Cincinnati. Out of these three guys, he had the most targets last week, 11 targets, finished with 101 yards and a touchdown. He's a clear number one option for this offense, which is something I don't even really think Hudson or Smith can really say in their respective offenses. I think that Henderson's going to be quite pivotal for Cincinnati this week. Good Lord, I don't know why I struggle on that word so much. He'll be pivotal for Cincinnati this week. And again, what Vegas thinks will be a pretty high-scoring game, close matchup with Pitt. I am really big on Henderson this year. Obviously, people kind of pointed out that he started off hot last year, faded down the stretch. I would argue, no, Henderson didn't fade. Emory Jones faded quite a bit. He's got a much better quarterback this year. He's got a much more competent offense to work with. And so I think that he'll be in for a big week this week. And that's why I'm going to start Henderson over Jeremiah Smith and Chris Hudson out of these three. So put my tokens up there for your viewing pleasure, and then we'll stick them back here and we'll move on to our final question of the day. Comes to us from Mr. Austin Smith at CFB Headgear on Twitter. He's a buddy of mine and he is actually running his own start and sit content. So if you guys are interested in that, again, go check him out at CFB Headgear on Twitter. He's got a bunch of other graphics and stuff like that that he is starting to make for CFF, and we all in the CFF industry love each other to death, so go show him some love this week. All right, enough of the plug there. Let me not an actual plug. Austin didn't ask me to do that. I just like Austin and want to make sure that he gets some love. But he does ask me a question here. He did legit leave a question for me to answer. And he is asking between Luke Grimm, the wide receiver out of Kansas, going up against Illinois this week, Kyle Williams, wide receiver out of Washington State, going up against Texas Tech, or we can go with Marcus Major, the running back out of Minnesota, going up against an FCS opponent. I think one of the clear starts here, because again, Austin's asking for two guys here. I think the clear guy, one of the clear starts here, is Kyle Williams. I think that's a no-brainer. I think he's the number one guy in a great CFF offense going into a game with shootout potential. I think that's pretty hard to pass up there. The question now comes down between Luke Grimm and Marcus Major. Just by gut feel, I like the idea of starting Marcus Major this week, especially with Darius Taylor potentially not coming back this week either. And then there's Luke Grimm going up against Illinois. That's not a defense you can just walk over, although, you know, Luke Grimm did have 8 targets last week for Kansas, so clearly that was some pretty solid volume there. I think, again, it's tough between those guys. I think this is, in my mind, this is more of a start one out of two, because, like, Williams is just such a clear start. Here's my thought process for the two guys. We'll start with Luke Grimm. Actually, no, we'll start with Major. Again, I think Major's tempting, but I think with Minnesota being in a blowout spot, I think it's quite possible that he gets a much lower volume than he would normally get as a number one back. I think Minnesota's going to want to try to build up their depth a little bit here. Guys like Seiya Bangura, some other guys in that backfield as well. I think that there's a good chance we see a decent split between those guys there. In addition, this being PPR, I think that Major takes a pretty big hit because of the scoring format there. And then there's also the possibility that Darius Taylor does come back this week, right? Like, he was out last week. Maybe he comes back this week, in which case Major takes a major step back there. Then there's Luke Grimm. He's kind of interesting. Like I said, he had 8 targets last week for Kansas, clearly above Arnold and Skinner, who had 3 each. However, if you look back to last year, Grimm, Skinner, and Arnold were all starters, and they kind of went back and forth throughout each week as to who was the favorite. Now, granted, I do think that might change a bit this year with Daniels starting full-time at quarterback. Maybe he is a quarterback that just favors the slot a lot more, and rather than kind of spread it around like they did last year. So maybe, you know, last week was a sign of things to come for Kansas, but I don't think you could really rely on that. But I still think I'm more okay with Luke Grimm over Marcus Major here, especially in a PPR format, especially with Kansas and Illinois going up against each other. Again, I should have written down the over-under for that game as well, because I think it's decently solid. Let me see. That's Arkansas, Kansas State. There we go. Over-under 55.5, so not great, but not bad. I think there's plenty of scoring opportunities there. My worry mostly would just be, is there enough scoring opportunities for Grimm if Devin Neal scores 2 touchdowns in this game, right? Or Jalen Daniels runs it in himself, right? I think that's kind of the major question. But speaking of Major, again, with Major, I just think there's just more questions to be answered throughout the week. It's quite possible that if we get news that Darius Taylor's out, I might change my opinion on this question. But that's just how I'm looking at it right now. All right. With that, we have come to the end of our show. Again, appreciate all of you guys for listening. Made great time this week, right at an hour show. That's what I'm going to try to aim for with these start sit shows moving forward. If you have not already, go ahead and leave a like, a comment, and subscribe. If you're watching this on the YouTube side of things, and if you're on the podcast side of things, make sure you follow the show. Leave a 5-star review wherever you can. Make sure you guys check out the rest of the Campus Canton Podcast Network for shows ranging on pretty much anything you can think of related to the college fantasy game. We'll see you guys back here next Monday with another week of CFF 2024 under our belts. Hopefully, we'll have some more questions answered, and we'll have another round of solid waiver wires for you to pick up there. Until then, really appreciate all of you guys. I hope you guys have a wonderful and blessed week. See y'all.